Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host, here on Dynamic Talk Radio, a great new station in Canada that's reaching everywhere. But we go to Newfoundland, Labrador. I can't tell you much, but we're going to get right back into our show, go into our show and listen to our interview. And we hope you like. Stay tuned, relax, take notes as we go to the Providence of Newfoundland, Labrador.
Okay, welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, your host, here on Dynamic Talk Radio, and welcome to our show. And, you know, we travel to an island, a huge island, in the Providence, eastern Providence of Canada. We go to Newfoundland, Labrador, and on the phone we have a restaurant called Bacalao, which means...
Cod.
Bacalao, which means cod. And we have Adrian Munder. And she is from St. George's, which is the capital of Newfoundland, Labrador. How are you doing, Adrian?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to our show, Andrea. How's it going? How's the weather there?
It's cold. It's winter here.
Yes.
I know you're in Virginia. You got the heat. We got the cold.
Yes. Wow. I mean, this is the season for hockey. You know, so we Americans like hockey. So you guys, we're learning from you guys, and we're picking up on hockey.
Well, I dare say that, Brian, you know more about hockey than I do. I know that there's sticks and a little black thing they chase around, but other than that, I really don't know.
Wow. You know, tell us. You know. About Newfoundland, Labrador. Tell us about the island of Newfoundland, Labrador in Canada.
Well, Newfoundland is the island portion of the province, and Labrador, although we are one province, Labrador is the portion that's connected to northern Quebec. So that has kind of Native and Inuit cultures living up there, and of course it's got larger cities as well. And then Newfoundland is the easternmost point in North America, and it's an island province. There's about 500,000 of us in total.
Wow.
And we were settled mainly by the British Isles, so there's a lot of influence of Irish and Scottish and English. But there's a lot of tradition of the Basque sailors and Portuguese and Spanish coming here as well because of the cod. So there's quite a lot of influence in our history and in our culture and our cuisine.
Wow, so there's a lot of Spanish tradition there.
Yeah, there is. You see a little bit more Portuguese than Spanish, but even place names and things like that. There's a little French influence, too. The French shore that we have in Newfoundland was settled by the French who invaded in the 1500s. So it's certainly gone back and forth. We've got lots of history, and of course, like all cultures, things get assimilated over the years, you know?
I can imagine the different dialects there that there must be, like you meet, like I just did. I was like, I should have practiced 1,000 times. I'm like, back, you know, pronouncing your restaurant and just getting the dialect and everything straight.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because in a lot of cases, people that visit here, there are many dialects and sort of pockets of language and linguistics throughout the province.
Yes.
And people do have a challenge to understand Newfoundlanders because, you know, I have a little less of an accent, although I'm sure it sounds like I have one to you, but in certain pockets it will sound very Scottish, and certain pockets it will sound very Irish, and some other areas more English, then there's some French influence. So there's a real mixture, and, on newscasts, even within Canada, sometimes I've seen subtitles when they're speaking with a Newfoundlander.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to forgive me, but I'm going to, by the end of our interview, I'm going to make sure I have everything right.
Sure.
Now, the type of cuisine that is in, as far as Newfoundland, Labrador, what type of cuisines? I know that they have fish. I know fish.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of vegetables. And could you tell us more about the different foods that they have, different dishes that they have?
Sure. Well, traditionally, the province was settled initially by sort of merchant fisher folk who came from England and the British Isles, but mostly England. And they were settled in very small pockets of communities. And, of course, we're talking, you know, the 1400s, so it was settled only by boat. That's how they got there. And so the communities were very remote. So people basically eked out an existence by fishing, salting the fish, and selling it back to the merchants. And so there really wasn't much of a cash trade. People really subsisted on what they, and our soil is poor, it's very rocky, so we don't sell, we don't produce a lot of, nowadays we do, but in the earliest days, it was a root vegetable crop, so carrot and turnip and potato, mm-hmm. and the fish, and then anything that they could catch, which would be wild. So, you know, we do eat seal here, we eat, certainly the moose got introduced a little bit later, so, you know, we eat moose, wild rabbit, all that kind of stuff. So these are sort of the traditional foods. Later, a little bit on, when they started to have farms and you know, there was more settlement throughout the province.
Okay.
People had, of course, pork and beef, and they would raise farm animals and things like that. But, of course, there was still no way to preserve it. Salting the food became the way that it was preserved. So almost salted, could be dry salted in the fish,
okay.
or wet brined as in the meat. And so that was something that over-entered. And then on top of that, here in Newfoundland, we have lots of wild berries that grow. Lots of blueberries grow here. But also we have something that we call partridge berries that they call lingonberries in Scandinavia. Are you familiar with lingonberries?
Oh, wow. No, but isn't there a dish there? Isn't there like there's a cuisine dish called partridge pudding or partridge?
Well, there's partridges, which are the birds, but there's also, I mean, we certainly would do a partridge berry duff or a blueberry duff or different desserts with partridge berries. Yeah.
But yeah.
They would be wild harvested berries. And of course, that was a way for vitamin C. Because needless to say, oranges being shipped over here. So in order for people to be healthy, it was this whole, you know, that's sort of the traditions of our cuisine. And that's evolved. And, of course, now, of course, you know, there's planes and boats and everything coming in with foods from all over the world. But the reality is these are the foods that are rooted in our traditions. So, you know, jig spinner, for example, is the one pot meal, and again, we're talking about early days, so there weren't a lot of things to cook with. People didn't have a lot of money, they might have had just a big hearth.
Okay.
And the dinner evolved because it was a one pot dish. So it's all the, you put your salt meat, so it's, you know, salted and it's, you know, it's salted and brine. You could soak it overnight to remove some of the salt, and then you would put this in the pot and boil it. And then you would add the vegetables in order of hardness.
Mm.
So the salt meat would take quite a while because needless to say, you can imagine it's got like a tougher texture from all that salt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then would begin to soften up. And then you start adding your, you know, very large pieces of a turnip first and then carrot and then finishing with your potato and your cabbage, which are the softer vegetables.
So I have to tell everybody about, so in Newfoundland, Labrador, there's a dinner radio, everybody in radio, and myself, I just learned about it, called the Jig's Dinner. And it's very popular there and on the island there. And you know, Andrea, I did it right. Did I say it right?
Yes,
Andrea.
Yeah.
Andrea was explaining about the Jig's Dinner that's there, you know, and explaining about it. And I did research on it, and I found out where it came from. But so the jig dinner is that if you come to Newfoundland, Newfoundland, you're going to have this dinner there.
Yeah. Now that's a real traditional. So that would be what somebody would have for Sunday dinner.
Okay.
And they might have a roast or a chicken or something along with that.
Okay.
But that is very, very traditional. So you won't really find that in a lot of restaurants. You find it in a couple of sort of more family-style restaurants. But here at Pakala, what we do, because we're a little bit more of a fine dining restaurant, our focus is to celebrate the cuisine and the culture of Newfoundland, incorporating traditional ingredients and flavors, but in a little bit more modern presentation. So our jig dinner, we serve it as an appetizer. So it's we call it a jig dinner cabbage roll.
Ah.
So essentially, we've taken all the elements of jig dinner inside a cabbage leaf and ink, you've got your salt meat and your potatoes. Mm-hmm. So jig dinner is always served with a sweet mustard pickle. So it's sort of a yellow, saucy chutney, I guess you could almost describe it. Usually has onion and cucumber and peppers and we'll put carrot in there too. And then it's a turmeric and mustard sort of sweet and tangy based sort of sauce.
Now, what was the, you know, I saw on there, first time I've heard of this, I saw this, it said it's served with, it's called a blue potato?
Oh, well, there's all kinds of varieties of potatoes. Newfoundlanders like
potatoes. Yeah, I didn't know. I've never seen in my life a blue potato. Now, this is, bluish, but blue kind of color potato. So that's what it is. It looks like that? It looks kind of like a light blue? Or?
Well, there's all different varieties. There are some that are very traditional. In Peru, for example, they have, I think, like 150 varieties of potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
You're like, Brian, to educate you, just to throw this out there. There's a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. But here in Newfoundland, our soil is rocky. Potato is something that tends to grow fairly well here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all different kinds. So there's blue, there's red, there's the russet, there's the yellow flesh, all that kind of thing. I've seen blue potatoes that are blue right through. So when you make the potato, it's like Dr. Seuss.
Yes, see, I mean, in America, you go to the grocery store here. I'm calling here from Hampton Roads in Virginia. I've never seen that in my life, so that's when I read it. I was like, that has that in there,
Yeah, it's very cool. And they also, the place, the farm stand, where I buy a lot of our vegetables for the restaurant, last year they actually produced a red potato as well. And when you cooked it, it was almost like a fuchsia color. And so I had the white potatoes and yellow potatoes, and then I had blue and then the red. And for Thanksgiving dinner a couple of years ago, that's what I did. And my little niece just about lost her mind. She was fun. And she thought it was the coolest thing ever. Blue vegetables have blue and pink potatoes.
Yeah. I would have did the same. They're like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, she loved it. It was just wonderful.
Wow.
Potatoes here, it's, traditionally, you would just have like a yellow or a russet in your jig dinner.
Okay.
But, yeah, these other things are sort of a little bit more modern arrival.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is it called pease pudding?
Yes. And
what is pease pudding? I saw that. Have this with the jig dinner, the pease pudding.
Exactly. And there's a couple of ways to cook it. You can cook it in a pot separately, but traditionally, you would take yellow split peas, the same as you use to make like split pea soup.
Okay.
And suspend them in a muslin bag and tie the top of the bag. You want to leave some room. And you cook that when you put in the salt meat down in the pot. So you suspend that down in the pot. And what it does is the boiling water and, of course, the flavor of the salt meat and all the other vegetables go into, and it seasons it, of course, because of the saltiness. And it seasons the peas. And they cook down to basically a mush. And then it becomes, it doesn't sound like appetizing, but it's really good. It's, it becomes a solid mass, and then you just turn that out and add some butter and pepper and just kind of mash it together. And it's absolutely delicious. And we serve that with the restaurant, so when we do our jig dinner cabbage roll, we have a little sort of a quenelle, a fancy dollop, of this pudding, which is so rustic, underneath the jig dinner cabbage roll, And then the other thing that you may have come across is, did you hear of pot liquor?
Ah, pot liquor. I've heard of this growing up. I've heard of pot liquor. I'm not sure it's the same. You know, well, I'm telling you, you know, what is pot liquor, right?
Yeah, it's probably the same, because I think I have, you know, spoken to people from the southern states who have talked about it. But basically, the pot liquor is the water which becomes the juice that everything is cooked in. And so traditionally, you know, the man of the house in particular, who liked the salty, fatty taste of that liquid, would take his teacup and dip down in the pot, and he would drink the pot liquor. When you think about it, that's where all the nutrition is, right? Because you've spoiled the vegetables.
Yeah, because everything, the vegetables there, the potatoes
exactly.
there.
All your vitamins and things. And so what we do at the restaurant is we have a little play on words, and we serve a pot liquor shooter. So we put a little of that in a shooter glass. And so it's not liquor.
I got you.
So we just have a little fun with it.
You know, I came across a liquor.
Hello, welcome back to our show. We hope you're enjoying our interview, the first part of our interview in Newfoundland with Andrea. You know, I've learned so much, and you know, that's why we wanted to do our show, to show that there are different traditions, cultures. I know we all know that, but it's really cool to actually hear about what's going on across the water, up north, south, east, the different foods, traditions, and we got to get back to the interview and hear what's going on in Newfoundland and just learn and you know, it's cool. All right. Back to the Providence in Canada, the island in the Providence of Canada.
It's called Screech.
Mm-hmm.
What is Screech?
Yeah, so Screech is a rum. Again, back in the trading days, so a couple hundred years ago, we were trading salt fish with the Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
And Jamaica.
Wow.
There's as well. And so ships would go down with salt fish. And, of course, it's very silly for an empty ship to come back. So they would come back with barrels of rum. And that became part of the trade. And,
my family, my mom's side's from the Caribbean Islands. Wow.
Ah, okay. So you know ackies and saltfish and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So, of course, we're Jamaica and a lot of Caribbean Islands.
I know about rum, for sure.
We have a strong tradition of rum here in Newfoundland, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, sailors, right? Sailors drink rum, and so that's where it came from. So we started trading with them, and the Jamaican rum became, we know in Newfoundland now, as Screech. And it's just a regular post rum. It's very dark.
Okay.
It's syrupy and molasses-y. It's delicious. There's a little theory about how it got its name, because we were just drinking rum in Newfoundland. And when the American servicemen were here in the war, in the 40s, apparently somebody gave one of the men a shot of rum. And apparently the ungodly screech that he let out became the name for the rum. So I don't know if that's true, but that's the story.
Well, you know, I got to trade a story back about the Jig's Dinner.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I was looking at it, where it actually came from, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from a cartoonist.
Yes, the name. The name came from the cartoonist. You're right.
Yeah. So he said the cartoonist was saying that there's this cartoon called Jigs and Maggie.
Yes.
And he was an Irish guy who happened to win a $1 million sweepstakes. And what happened was he didn't know how to handle it. He wanted to go back to his days, how he used to go with his friends and go to the tavern. And his daughter Maggie wanted him to come up and move to the higher class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would eat, at the time, he liked eating the Jig's Dinner. He liked eating the, you know, baked potato, the carrots, and the cabbage. And that's how the Jig's Dinner came around.
Yeah, and so, of course, we were making that here just out of subsistence. But we believe that's how it got its name here in Newfoundland, is from that cartoon.
Yeah.
How all the influences that and things that just happen and change over the years.
Wow. I was like, looking at it, I was like, that's really cool. And a friend of mine in Canada, he lives here. He's Canadian, and he told me Bryant, you need to go about to dig dinner in Canada, in Newfoundland. And he says, yeah. You need to talk to somebody about that. So that's why I'm, like, calling. Talking.
Wonderful, yeah. And, of course, you know, the Irish have corned beef and cabbage that they eat. And there are some other places in the world where there's a very, actually, the south of France has a similar dish. The meat is not quite the same, but it is kind of a cured brisket kind of thing.
Okay.
And they have a cabbage and vegetable and cured meat dish that is very traditional in the Provence area, in the south of France, Provence and the Languedoc area.
Wow.
So there's a lot of traditions, I'm sure, that tie many of us around the world that we don't even know about.
Yeah, when I was looking. Now, what's flipper pie?
Flipper pie is actually seal. I know that that's met with some controversy in other parts of the world. And what people need to understand about Newfoundland is, of course, there are many, many, many seals, far too many. And because of the foreign fishing, in addition to, you know, our own fishing, we're only 500,000 people here, so there's only so much fishing we can do. But, of course, there are fishing rights that are granted to, you know, all sorts of people from all around the world, from Russia to China to, you know, all over Europe. And so there's, and you may have heard that the cod stocks were quite endangered some time ago, codfish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to be bad. I know that they're having some of the same troubles in the eastern seaboard of the U.S. as well.
Yes, you're right. You're very
yeah.
Right.
So there's a big challenge for us. And so we need to call the seal population. Now, we have a history of eating seal in Newfoundland. We also use the pelts for leather and fur and all that sort of stuff for clothing. But there's a tradition of eating it. So flipper pie is the actual forefoot of the seal. People eat the carcass, and the oil from the seal is also rendered down for an omega-369 supplement as well, because, of course, it's full of the omega fatty acids. And so people would cook flipper, usually with, again, some root vegetables and aromatics, and make a gravy, and then put a pastry over the top.
Oh, wow. Wow. That, you know, I used to watch that show, Flipper. I don't know.
No, we're talking seal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. We ate up in here.
Okay. All right, I want to make sure. Okay. So now there's another dish I saw. I saw something that's called, it's a dessert there in Newfoundland, Labrador. It's spelled T-O-U-T-O-N-S.
Oh, Tautens, yes.
Yes, Tautens.
It's not a dessert as much as, I mean, you certainly could have it for dessert.
Okay.
But Tautens are just small pieces of, so if you were just going to make ordinary white bread,
okay. And
you would just pinch off a piece of dough, probably the size of a donut hole, that much dough, and you flatten it into a little disc shape, like a cake, almost like a crab cake kind of shape. And then you just fry that in a pan with a little bit of oil or butter. And then traditionally, they are served with molasses. So it's a lovely kind of a little bit crisp texture on the outside, kind of golden brown. And then inside, you have that lovely, warm bread. And they are very, very traditional. We would have them for breakfast. And we believe how, I don't know where the name came from, Tauten, T-O-U-T-O-N. It looks like Tauten, but it's Tauten. And
it's pronounced Tauten. Tauten.
It's pronounced Tauten.
Tauten, okay.
Tauten, yeah.
Tauten.
So it's
okay.
Round sound, yeah. We believe what it started with is, you know, big families and, a wood stove that, you know, a mom would have to cook on in remote communities, and she maybe would get up early to make the bread for the family. And maybe the bread wouldn't be ready in time, and so the kids would be up looking for something to eat, and so somebody just fried the bread dough. And we think that's how it got started. But if you think about it, it's a lot like sort of Bannock and the native cultures, and Chinese do kind of fried breads and stuff like that. So certainly, you know, it's all around the world, but in Newfoundland we call them Tautens, and we love them.
Wow! Yeah, I thought it was a really nice dish.
It's not to love Tauten. It's, you know, bread and sweet, right?
You know, I bet when you come to America, if you've been to America and tried our what type of foods or recipes or things that you like from America, because your foods are very cool. Now I like Rima, so I know America. What type of do you like that's unique?
Oh, I love. I've traveled the States quite a bit, actually.
Okay.
I absolutely love the food of New Orleans. There's lots of wonderful foods there.
Yes.
Gumbo is one of my all-time favorites. Love it. My mom and I were in Savannah, Georgia a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I ate grits with every single meal.
No, you didn't. You really? For real? That's awesome.
love grits. In fact, I bought, because we can't get the same in the white grits, are very difficult to get here.
Yeah.
It's just not a traditional food, so I bought back. I mean, I had to pay extra on my suitcase to come home.
And you, like, smuggled it. No, not
Well, thankfully it was dry, so I could get
yeah.
it. But I had to pay overweight for my suitcase.
Yeah, I guess.
So kilos of grits in there.
All right.
We also traveled to Adinta, New Mexico. And they have such a wonderful culture of food in Santa Fe. And so all those beautiful chilies and all that kind of thing, that's, again, so very different.
Okay.
The food of California is so cosmopolitan. I've traveled a fair bit to the Eastern Seaboard, too, which is kind of similar to the food that we have here. So there's a lot of things. I mean, the states are such, the pockets of cuisine, and it's like Canada, too. But the pockets of cuisine are so unique all across the country.
They are. Just Newfoundland there and Labrador, just because, where I live in Hampton Roads, we're right on the ocean, on the Atlantic. But here on, like, Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Hampton, that area,
they've got shrimp and crab.
Yeah. So, but still, this you're by the water and we're by the water, but totally different foods. But at the same time, they're the same, too, similar foods as far as the fish, the cod. No, not cod here, but, I mean, we have different type of fish here. But still, it's same and different,
Oh, yeah. I mean, a culture of eating fish, for sure. Yeah, certainly you've got the warmer water, so the shrimp that we have here are cold water shrimp, so they're much smaller, much, much smaller. They're not like a big prawn or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sweet and very tasty, but a much smaller size shrimp. And you can dive for bigger oysters here, but we get a lot of the bay, or sorry, not oysters, scallops. I meant to say we don't have oysters at all in this one.
Gotcha.
But the little bay scallops, are they sort of the smaller sized ones, are the ones that we tend to see more often. And then, of course, our lobster is, because it's the cold water here, it's very sweet, and it's the hard shell lobster.
To even try out, go to Newfoundland, because it's an island up north, so it's totally different. Even for Canadians, is right.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, our cuisine and our culture is very unique, very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly seen a big rise in tourism over the past years.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about Newfoundland that is so different is that the people are extremely friendly. We're very proud of our province. We're used to not being a very wealthy province. And one thing, and of course, the history of our settlement is that people had to pull together so they didn't come off. It was a difficult way to live. And I think what that has done is instilled in Newfoundlanders a real love of people and of helping people.
Mm.
So, and a pride of place. We know we come from hardy stock. We wouldn't be here if our ancestors didn't survive.
Right.
So there's a real pride of place where Newfoundlanders are, I think, maybe the proudest of their province of all Canadians. We were the last to join Canada, so many of us identify as Newfoundlanders first and Canadians second.
That's right, because Newfoundland was their own country, right?
We were, yeah, and we only joined Canada in 1949.
That's right.
So there's an awful lot of Newfoundlanders who had to get a Canadian passport after that because they had a Newfoundland one before.
Mm-hmm, okay.
There's a real pride of place and an eagerness to share everything that's here, our coastline and it's very rugged. The colors just seem brighter here. I don't know what it is about the quality of the sunlight. There's very little pollution just because of where we are. And so there's a real purity of the air, I guess. And so colors are brighter.
Yeah.
It's a really, I'm a little biased, I guess, because I'm from here, but it's a really special place and a wonderful place to visit. And what you will find when you come here is that people are very genuine and it's not, a Disney-fied version of Newfoundland. What you're getting when you come here is the real deal.
Wow.
So the food, the people, the place, the culture, the scenery, it's all. And our weather is not fantastic, so don't come here expecting Florida weather. You ain't going to get it.
Okay. Everybody, including myself, when I go there, we're trying to do
fine. Yeah, you may come in the summer. Some summers are fantastic, some aren't. So just when you come, you shouldn't need a parka and gloves and mitts in July.
Mm-hmm.
But do pack long pants and sweaters and a windbreaker.
Wow.
Your escorts and a tank top, because you'll need it all.
Wow. Well, my gosh. Thank you for being on our show on Flavor of Living, Andrea.
Pleasure.
Wonder. Ah, I got it right.
Very well.
Thank you for being on our show, and, you know, and can they find, like, as far as, you know, we have a restaurant directory, I wanted to tell you, and you can, Flavor Living has a directory, and
oh,
it'd be great to have you in our directory.
Oh, I'd love to be in it.
Yes.